kind of like free babysitting. God wants the students to understand that you are to represent him and be on mission at your campus. That God would recognize that you don't go just to work so that you can make a little bit of money, so that you can pay all the really expensive stuff in this world and kind of have a little bit of time with your family on the weekend, only to do it again and again and again until you retire. God has you on mission, and you are to represent him there, just like Jonah as an Israelite was to represent God to the people around him. God still has great things to do in this city, and it's not because we are great, it's because he's still in control, and he is still on the throne, and the gospel that saved you and saved me is still powerful, and it still changes lives. It still breaks through the hardest of hearts and makes you and me and this city new. I was looking at some of the things that we have going on in this church and different things, and there's a mission fund, and that's cool. I want us to think of unique and creative, not compromising truth of Scripture and the gospel and Jesus, but think of creative and unique ways and dream dreams and use that, because God is still the God of this city. One of the things that I talked about is with the elders, and I was going to mention to you all this morning, is I'm anything but creative, but the idea of, I just want to call it Love Blackwell. And the idea is that you and I would love Blackwell well. And one of the things you can do is that as we dream dreams and as we pray prayers, knowing that God responds and knowing that the gospel is powerful, I'm going to challenge you. God, I believe, is going to present opportunities for us. And I would, and when those opportunities arise, and I'm hoping and praying that when those things come soon, we're going to look for them, that you would be eager and you'd be ready to say, man, I'm in. I'm ready. You might not be the one that's going to be the kind of the closer, in other words, the one that's going to share the nuts and bolts of the gospel, but maybe you're someone that could go and do some things, what I would call is kind of like pre-evangelism. In other words, maybe there's a physical need that needs to be made, to be met, and maybe there's an opportunity for you to step in, and you can build something, or you can make something, or you can fix something, and God wants you to do that. Maybe you're like physically, you're at a place where like, I just don't know if I can get up and go. Well, one of the things I'm going to encourage each one of us to do, as God leads us to do so, is to, above regular tithes and offerings, designate just a little bit extra, maybe $1 a week, maybe $5 a week, and we're going to add to this fund. And then we're going to creatively dream, and we're going to pray big prayers, and we're going to be obedient when God calls us to go and to serve. I want to close with, this is one of the most beautiful things I think I've ever seen in my ministry, of a group of men starting to kind of take this call to go and to be a light really serious. They called themselves eventually the Old Geezers, or the OGs. And so in my world, that means original gangsters. But in their world, it meant Old Geezers. And it was I worked as the youth minister at First Baptist Church in Springtown, Texas, which was outside of Fort Worth. And these men, they started getting together, and they said, you know what, we should get together and eat some food, because that's always a good thing to do, right? Like, we like to eat. I found out that literally every time we come here, I've gained more weight in the last month than anyone. And so they get together, and they would eat, but then they realize, we don't want to just eat, we want to pray. And we want to seek God, and we understand that God has gifted us, and we have talents and abilities. And a lot of these guys realized that they were the OGs, the old geezers. They were kind of had just recently retired, and so they had some time on their hands. And they realized that they would like to go out into their garage or their yard and kind of tinker. They would literally break stuff so they could fix it, right? Like, rather than the honey-do list was like, oh yeah, I can replumb my house, and next thing you know, there's a plumber at their house. But they had enough working knowledge to be able to do some things. Part of it was because I think they had just messed up so many times they realized not what to do. But anyway, these men, there was 10 to 15 of them, and it eventually grew to 30 or 40 of them. They started meeting and they started praying. And then there was a lady in the church who said, hey, there's a family that lives next door to me. They had the husband was in a really bad car wreck, and they had to amputate kind of part of his leg there below his knee. And he was in the hospital for a long time, and he was getting ready to come home, and he got home, and this lady went over, and she took him a meal because, you know, listen, the one of the easiest ways, kind of the pre-evangelism idea, man, straight into people's hearts is through their stomach. Man, you fix them some good food, you make them some chocolate chip cookies, man, they'll listen to you about anything, right? So this lady takes them a meal and takes it into their house, and the guy was there. He had like a wheelchair, and she saw on the floor of their house that they had put these big X's with duct tape. She's like, what is that? And this family said, well, our subfloor is completely rotten. And these X's are where my husband cannot go in his wheelchair, because if he does so, he's going to fall through the floor. And she started looking around, and one of the X's was really close to the bathroom that he was going to use. Well, her husband was a part of the OGs, the old geezers. So she goes home, and she does what any godly woman does, and she said, you're going to get those men, and they're going to go, and they're going to fix that house. Right? Behind every godly man is an even godlier woman. Man, praise the Lord that Jesus has, I married up, and I mean that, you know, anyway. So next thing you know, these guys who had kind of been kind of good at tinkering, you know, kind of, they could do a little bit to be dangerous. In fact, they were actually, some of them were unbelievable. They could completely remodel your bathroom, and, you know, anyway, they're unbelievable. They said, well, when are we going to start? And this was like on a Friday. So like literally Monday morning. In fact, some guys actually started Saturday. And some guys were even there after Saturday, Sunday after church. But Monday morning was the day. And I watched these men who their backs were hurting, and some of them, their knees had had knee replacements, go into this house, crawl under this house, replace floor joists, replace subfloor, new flooring on top. They widened out doors so that the wheelchair could get in, make it handicap accessible. There's about three or four steps into this house, and next thing you know, guys were out and they were building a handicap ramp. And I watched these men fall in love with going into their city. And I watched God break a hard heart in this family. And as they were done, there were several guys that I would kind of call them the closers, ones that would be comfortable and capable of telling them the simple, amazing, beautiful, powerful truth of Jesus. And I watched a husband and wife who had given up and were so tired, and his leg was partially amputated. I watched those two people fall in love with Jesus. Greater things are still to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. I mean, the task is gigantic, but what an opportunity. I'm looking out, and I know people are gone because of rain, and that's not just only. I'm looking at a group of people who I think God can use to literally in this community move heaven and earth. Not so that we can just pat ourselves on the back, but so that God can use us to see the truth of the gospel change hearts and lives. Those OGs, old geezers, those men were used by God through simple service projects and different opportunities in the community to see dozens of families where husband would come to know Christ, where marriages and families were knitted back together. And it was simply because they said, listen, God has given us talents and abilities, and we're going to be faithful, and we're going to use the things that we can do so that God will do incredible things in this community. The amazing part is it changed those guys' hearts. But the even more amazing thing is that now there are people that I know have fallen in love and know Jesus because these men were faithful to go. May we understand that God does not ever, ever, ever give up on us. God did not give up on Jonah. May we understand that God doesn't give up on Nineveh. that the gospel isn't just for people like us. It's for people that are our enemies. It's for people that think differently than us, have different religious backgrounds than us, who think differently politically, and that we would understand that God wants to do a beautiful, amazing work in this city. And may we simply be obedient and say yes to him. We might not call it OGs, but what I would love to call it is this: a group of imperfect people who simply say, yes, God, whatever it is that you want me to do, wherever it is that you want me to go, for as long as I have breath, I understand that God is at work and the gospel is going to change lives, and I'm going to get in. I'm going to be on board. I'm going to say yes. In a few moments, we're going to pray. We're going to have an opportunity to respond. May you, no matter what, say to God this morning, if you want, I mean, I'm not going to force you to, may you say, God, whatever it is that you want me to do, I will say yes. Wherever it is that you want me to serve, I'll say yes. God, however I can get involved, I will say yes. And then maybe you're like Jonah. You feel so discouraged and so frustrated and so down that you say, there's no way that God could ever, ever love me. Man, just like God sent a fish for Jonah, God is not done with you, and today can be the day when you are renewed, when you are restored, when the joy of your salvation returns. All across this room in a few moments, my hope and prayer as we have a time of invitation is that you would say yes. And let's never forget, just like that song that says, that greater things are yet to come and greater things will still be done in this city. Would you bow with me in prayer? God, you're good. God, we thank you that you don't give up on us. God, that you love us even when we make messes, even when we run, even when we want to give up and just be done. God, that you're not far off, that you're not angry, that you're not pointing fingers, you're not ready to smite us or destroy us, but you're ready. And you stand ready to embrace us, to forgive us, to restore us. And God, I pray for this morning for those, anyone that's struggling. God, I pray that they would run to you because your burden is light. And in you and you only can we find rest for our souls. And God, I pray that you would birth a fire in us, a desire in us to say, God, whatever it is that you would have us to do as your people in this building, in this church, God, that we would say yes, and we would pray big prayers, and we would give sacrificially of our time and of our finances and say, God, you're going to do great things in this city. The gospel is still the power of God and a salvation. And God, may we go. Because just like you haven't given up on us, there are people that are created in your image that you love and you haven't given up on them either. God, now as we have a time to respond, would we say yes to you? We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as we have a time of invitation?